This evening's first reading is from the book of Genesis, beginning to read at verse 24. This is on page 3 of the Pew Bibles. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." This is the word of the Lord.
Our second reading is taken from the book of Acts, chapter 17, beginning to read at verse 22. It can be found on page 1113 of the Church Bibles if you're following there. Acts chapter 17, beginning to read at verse 22. Paul then stood up in the meeting of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Now what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, and does not live in temples built by hands. And he is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. From one man he made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he determined the time set for them, and the exact places where they should live. God did this so that men would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring." This is the word of the Lord.
Seated. Let us pray. Father God, open our ears to hear your voice. Come alive to us through your written word and become our living word. In the name of Jesus, amen. So this evening we begin a new sermon series. The title is God Working in Us. God Working in Us. And we're better place to start than at the very, very beginning with creation. And this evening's theme is God creating us. And as I explored our reading from Genesis, just 5 verses we've had read, it became clear that his working in us began in his creating us. This may seem obvious, but in a world where we are so often want to know the answers to the when and the how, we can get rather lost as to who was at the root of the when and the how, and forget the purpose for us being here at all. So my thoughts this evening will explore with you the who created us. Who is he that we are made in his image? And why? Why would a God that could create with just his word want to create humankind at all? And why would he create them in his image? Don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that the when and the how are not relevant or interesting, and as many have studied and debated, they do not have to be opposing questions at all to the who and the why, but instead complementary to each other. So whilst I was at college at the beginning of this year, I chose to spend a week on a course looking at science and faith. It was a short course with some very esteemed speakers, one of which I had the privilege of hearing twice. And he spoke on the creation of the universe, and I won't and I can't confess to go into huge detail as to what he spoke about at all. I'm definitely not a scientist and related far more to the messy church science that was shared with us during the week. But the one thing that was left with me and the most lasting impression I had was that the universe and all that is contained in it was not here by accident. The minutest change in particles and gravitational force, and forgive me if my wording is wrong scientifically, would have meant that it would have been impossible for any life form to exist here on Earth. And a gentleman called Peter Hodgson says, the more we study evolution, the more we realise that it's immensely improbable that we should be here at all. And yet we are. We are here in abundance. And what's more, we are still here many, many, many years later. Genesis 1, by its very nature, right at the very beginning, describing the beginning of creation, a serene and controlled process brought about by the Word of God. Just the Word. It's very different from the description from the Near Eastern myths that can be read, where gods created for themselves, for them to enjoy, for them to benefit from. People created out of clay and mud, and a creation coming about as a way of bringing order out of chaos into an already created world. Who created the heavens? The earth, the light, the sky, vegetation, the sun, the moon, and the stars, living creatures of the sea, sky, and earth. Who created mankind? Our title this evening, God Creating Us, rather gives the answer away to this question. The who is God? Who is he that we are made in his image? This God described here in Genesis is not an impersonal creator who created and left, or created for his own gain. God is a personal creator who chose to create for the purpose of relationship. In verse 26, God said, "Let us make humankind in our image according to our likeness." In this statement, the climax of the creation story, mankind is created by the Word of God. Interestingly, we cannot claim as humankind to have a whole day of creation to ourselves. We were created, it says, in the same day as the living creatures. Perhaps we should be wise to remember their importance in God's creation, when we remember the responsibility that we have been given over them. But the account is more detailed than the account of days 1 to 5, and a lot more detail goes into describing what God expects from humankind and what he has given them to ensure our needs are met. The instruction to be fruitful and multiply, and the role to subdue and have dominion over every living thing, and of course, very importantly, food. Let us, in our and to our, us and our are used in verse 26. Let us make mankind in our image according to our own likeness. And while commentators vary on the meaning of these words, does it refer to the angels or the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? Or is it God speaking as the Creator King, where us and our would refer to his kingship and the authority passed down to man in his place? Whichever, it speaks to me of relationship. A God who has... A God who has been in relationship even before creation as we see it and know it. A God who created for relationship. Image and likeness. God creating us in his image, in his likeness. How can this be? God is spirit. We are clearly body. And what on earth does good God look like? If we look around this church today, we will see how very different each one of us are. If we walk down the high street, we will see yet more diversity. Young and old, tall and short, blonde hair, dark hair, and we could go on. So how can we all possibly be made in the image of God, in his likeness? When a child is born, have you heard the phrase, he's a spitting image of his father? She has her mother's eyes. When my son was born, I spent a night in hospital and he was laying next to me in what I call the fish tank, the see-through cot that they put your baby in. And I woke in the night to see my newborn baby staring back at me. And for a split second, it could have been my husband, which was quite scary in the middle of the night. Now, that may have been the after effects of the pain relief, but for a moment, he was the image of his father. He was so like his dad that they even had the same ear shape, a minute detail distinctive to the pair of them. And as both our children have grown, we have seen personality traits of both of us in them. They reflect both of us. Not always the things we would have liked them to have picked up, but we have seen our children grow into individuals, but also carrying likenesses from us their parents. Now, we do, of course, hear of God described in Scripture as hands and eyes, physical attributes that we understand. Why is it we become so hung up on what God looks like? We are human and we understand through our senses, from what we can see and what we can touch. We understand image as something we can interpret in terms of physical. And so often we hear people describe the image of God pictured in their minds as a Father Christmas type character with a long white beard and floating beard and big arms to hold us. But we don't all look like that. And verse 27, in the image of God, he created them male and female. By the very words we have just heard, there is obviously going to be some difference and some variety in our physical bodies. So who is God if we can't pin him down in what he looks like? What does the image and likeness we have been created in look like? Perhaps you have thought yourself, or someone has said to you, how can you believe in an invisible God? How can God be invisible, I'd like to argue, if we are made in his likeness? Who God is not present in our physical appearance, but in our character. Scripture tells us that Christ is the image of the invisible God. and Christians are called to become more Christ-like in character. It is through Christ and through Christians living Christ-like lives that we see the image of God. Characteristics such as love, patience, forgiveness, kindness, and faithfulness. In some people, we see godly character or godly nature just oozing from their pores. It flows out from them. Christians are not identifiable in a crowd by physical marks. We cannot be picked out by looks alone. But wouldn't it be amazing if we could be picked out because of how we behave and how we react and how we love? So we have looked at who God is, a creator God, a loving God, a relational God. But why? Why would God want to create us? And some may say, why did God make such a huge mistake when we look at the world around us? He created us that we may be in relationship with him. He created us that we may be representatives on this physical earth. He created that by being made in his image, he may dwell in us and through us. Being a representative of God does not depend on our ability to do certain things, say clever things. Being created in God's image runs through our whole lives, through the tiny baby, through the infirm, through all of humanity. It is because he is a relational creator God who loves what he has created. Wherever man is, God is also. Being a representative of anything comes with its responsibilities, and whilst I was training as a nursery nurse, I was asked to go on a week-long placement for a school with children who had autism. It wasn't just a placement in the school. They sent me to Devon for a whole week on a residential with staff I'd never met, with children whom I'd never spent any time with. And there I was in a place I didn't know on my own to gain experience, but to be a representative of the college, to pave the way for other students to gain such experience in the future. And as I was told I was representing the college, it came with a huge responsibility. I was there 24/7 for 7 days. You don't have a chance to go and hide and be something different. You had to behave in the way you were going to behave the whole time. I hadn't received any experience of working with children with autism before. All I knew was from textbooks and lectures. And living with children with such extremes of behaviour when you're only 17 is quite a challenge. I was the college representative. I was given responsibility. And yes, it came with a cost. But the cost was far outweighed with the huge blessings and the huge privilege to be given this experience. Now, human selfishness has meant the command to rule and subdue has been taken to mean something else, to abuse and take all we can get from it. The responsibility is ours. The privilege was given to human being, not to be abused, but to be cared for. Dominion was not about domination, and rule was not to exploit or abuse, but to care and nurture. And in verse 28, God blessed them and gave humankind the command to be fruitful and increase in number. Why? God was a creator God, and he gave this gift to his people, creation and procreation, that they may multiply, that they may continue to represent God, The physical body creates and goes on creating. God had given man purpose on earth. God created the earth and all that is in it, but he continues to act within it. A continuation on the why is that he promises to be with us, continues to guide us, and because of the brokenness man has caused, he walks with us. In our reading from Acts, Paul tells the men of Athens that God created humankind, that man would seek him and find him. Though he is not far from each one of us, we are his offspring. He has a purpose for each of our lives, created that we may act for him, and he is not far away from any one of us. I read this quote which made me smile and really linked into what I felt the passage was saying. Creation is to join in the relationship and dance of God. We can look back at the beginning of humankind in the light of Christ's death, resurrection, and his glorious ascension. We can see the relationship of the physical world joined through this with the heavenly realm again. And one day we are promised that the rest of creation will be joining as participants with God to live for all eternity. The Creator God has created humankind, created us, that they may live, that we may live in his created order and continue to create. Increase in number, he told them. Be in relationship with one another. And through the who we explored, we know how this relationship is intended to be, a relationship that oozes the character of God. And Brother Lawrence said, everything is an opportunity to bask in God's presence and love, and the instruction to subdue the earth and rule over it is a call to enjoy the created order, to take care of that which we have been given responsibility for, to be in relationship with the earth. And as I conclude, I'd like us to think about when it is that we feel closest to God. Is it perhaps being close to people or nature? Time alone to listen to God, time to read scripture. In the passage we have explored this evening in God creating us, we heard of his word, his creation, his created people, to remember who God is and why he created us is an opportunity to draw closer to him, to connect with the Creator God and search for how he is working in you. And with the parish theme for this year being, "You are my witness," the opportunity to see how being a created child of God can enable you to show others what it means to be created in his image and to share in that relationship and dance of God. Amen.